Now let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And to verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And our title this evening is Being Led by the Spirit. Being Led by the Spirit. I'm going to take many lessons from the account in Numbers where we read the pillar of fire and cloud. Christians are a people who have called themselves to be led by God, and God guides them through the Holy Spirit. We know that all what was happening in the Old Testament were for our lessons. Egypt in the Old Testament referred to this world. The wilderness refers to our journey to Canaan, and Canaan refers to heaven. And the secret of guidance is taught in this type that we are going to talk about today. As Christians and as people in this world, we need God's guidance, because we can never guide ourselves. You don't even know how you came into this world. How can you guide yourself? We need the Almighty to guide you and to direct you in all our ways. And as we go through these stories, we see how God guides us and how we should commit our lives unto God for His guidance. For the young people, there's a book called Steps for Guidance, written by Dr. Matthew. If you see it anywhere, you try and buy it. It shows you how God guides us in this world. In any major decision that you take, you need God's guidance to protect you and to lead you. And from the story, let's go to the story again and then see how the lesson that we can learn from it. These people that God gave the fire, the pillar of fire and of cloud by night, were people that had been redeemed from Egypt. We all know the account how the Israelites through their forefathers came to live in Egypt and became slaves, how they were tortured, all what they went through, and God used Moses and Aaron to bring them out of Egypt into a land that He has promised. And this is what I said, we find ourselves in this bondage in this world, and Christ has come to save us from this world. And Christ guides us, directs us through the Holy Spirit. So these were people who were separated, and they were in the wilderness of Sinai after they came out from Egypt. And we also learn from verse 15, it says, the resting place of the cloud was over the tabernacle, which also means that the Spirit finds rest in Christ. Remember where we read in Romans chapter 8? We say that it is those who are led by the Spirit who are the children of God, who are the sons of God. If you are not led by the Spirit, you are not a child of God. And that is how it was always. The Spirit finds rest only in Christ. And then we learn about the cloud by day and fire by night. The cloud was always covering them by day. And the surprising thing is that when the light gives them light, the fire gives them light in the night, it gives the people who were chasing them, you know the story of when they left Egypt and they were going and they were pursuing them. The fire gave them light, and it gave darkness to those who were following them, so they can't find them. See how God guides us. The same fire gave them light so that they can see their way through. The same fire blinds those who were behind them, their enemies. So we see how God can protect us from our enemies. The same fire, and God uses in twofold, and by day, an appearance of His by night. And there's one thing that we should take care of. It says, at the commandment of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord. And it's mentioned about seven times from verse 17 to verse 22. We can't turn them all, but if you look at verse 18, it's mentioned twice. Verse 20 is mentioned twice. And I think verse 23 is mentioned thrice, the commandment of God, which is emphasizing that we should always obey the commandment of God. And when we are taking guidance from God, we should only act when God commands us. We should obey when God commands us. And as we read from the story, even when the light stays for day, they will stay for all those days, for a year, for months, they will stay. There are people who, when they pray, sometimes we hear that the charismatic praying, and they say, we want it now, not commanding God that they want it now. But this is telling us that even when we pray to God, we have to leave it with God. Because God can say, I will give you today, or tomorrow, or I will even give you. It is for Him, it's according to His sovereignty, that He will give us. You can never command God to give you something right now. Sometimes we even pray for things that we don't need. It is God who knows what we need. So we should always wait on the Lord. Even if you pray, you have to wait on the Lord for the right time, for Him to give you what you have asked for. And that is example we see here. They will wait until the movement of the cloud or of the light, whether days or months or years, they were prepared to wait. And the cloud indicated the will of God, verse 17 to 22. You see, they moved, they journeyed. And when it rested, they also waited. When it moves, they move. When it rested, so it means they were obeying the commandments of God. It is the will of God. You should always look at the will of God. Even the Bible says, when you pray according to the will of God, He will answer you, not according to your will. You have to pray according to the will of God. Like, God wants everybody to be saved. So I don't see why, if you pray to God to save you, He won't save you. But if you pray for things for yourself, God might not give you. But so you have to pray according to the will of God. The cloud indicated the will of God. The Lord said, move, and they move. Stay, and they stay. Wait, and they wait. And verse 22 says that sometimes it rested a long time, whether it be 2 days, or a month, or a year, they will wait. So we always have to wait on the Lord, regardless of the situation. Even if you are suffering, even if you are sick and you pray to God, it is for Him to either heal you or to leave you. Whatever God gives you is good as a Christian. And you have to obey it and wait on it. And verse 21 says, they obey by day or night at once. Whether it is by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they obey. And it is also a lesson to us that in whatever situation you are, you should obey God. Whether you are in poverty, whether you are in riches, whether you are in sickness, you should always obey God. For God knows that He is your creator. He knows what you are going through, and He will see you through. And then verse 13 to 22, He said that the cloud was never taken away. The cloud was never taken away. The cloud was always with them. We can turn to Exodus chapter 13, verse 22, to see what it says about the cloud being with them all the time. Exodus chapter 13. Said He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He never took it from them. It was always with the people. He never took it from the people. And it is the same thing. God never takes His grace or His guidance from us. Other lessons that we can learn from this account is that the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherds, lead the flock by means of the Holy Spirit that He has put within us. Remember when He was going, He said He would send the Spirit as a comforter to come and comfort us. And we have already read from Romans that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those who have not the Spirit are none of His. We just read it from Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and also verse 14. So the pillar of cloud and fire is a great type of the Holy Spirit. See what he said in Psalm 105, verse 39. He said, "He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night." This shows that the pillar should have been both of a comfort and of a guide. Sometimes our Muslim friend will tell you that when Christ was going, he said that he would send Muhammad. When he said he would send the comfort, he said the comfort would be Muhammad. But if you look at what it's saying here, the Holy Spirit came to comfort us and to guide us through this life, through our sanctification. The Holy Spirit is never came to give us power to do things that we want to do, as it being preached somewhere else. Now, people judge you by your speaking in tongues or by your revelations to say that the Holy Spirit dwells among you. No, the Holy Spirit comes, the main purpose of the Holy Spirit is to comfort and to guide you. Most of the time, when we meet our charismatic friends and we talk about Christ, sometimes we all agree at certain points. When it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, that is where the problem is. But here we can see that the pillar of clouds and the fire is a type, a typical type of the Holy Spirit. And what it does is to comfort and to guide us. Like I said, it gives light to the people and darkness to the enemies. It tells them to move and tells them to stay, which is guidance and comfort. So the two chief offices of the Spirit are to comfort and to guide. You can read John 14, verse 16, verse 26, 15, 26, 16, verse 7. It all tells you about the comfort and the guide being the chief reason why the Holy Spirit was given to us. And one other lesson we learn is that this protection were for people who have been redeemed from Egypt and were in the wilderness. In the same way, it's for the saved, those who are saved. You can't go on saying that no weapon formed against me can stand and all those things when you are not being saved. You have to be a saved people. These are the people who have been brought from Egypt. And it's also for us who have been saved from this wicked and sinful world, whose sins have been forgiven them and have come to be sons of God. The unsaved, they wander in this world without any guideless and lawless, going their own way and only end in darkness. The saved follows God and is guided by God. The good shepherd, according to Psalm 23, he will guide you even in the shadow of the the shadow of death. He will be with you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He has never said that we will never have problems in this world. He has said there will be problems we will go through, but in all of them, he will be with us. And this is a typical example that throughout the wilderness, he followed them. When they needed water, he gave them water from the rock. When they asked for meat, he gave them quails. When they ask for food, he gave them manna from heaven. So there's nothing that God cannot give you. You have to just look up to him. He will protect you and he will direct you. And number two, the leading of the Spirit is not the same as following the natural light of conscience. Like I said, you have to. Many worldly men, they live by their conscience. What their mind tells them is what they do. The Spirit lives by the Holy Scriptures. We live by the Scriptures. You read the Word, you wake up in the morning, you pray, you commit your life to God. Whatever happens to you, you know that you are giving your life to God. And God knows, and He will protect you. The unsaved do not do that. They trust in their own conscience, and they live on their own. They are not enlightened. They don't live by the Scriptures. Even now, people are pushing the Bible away and believing more in revelations. They are not seeking the guidance that comes from the Scriptures. They are seeking guidance from so-called prophets and apostles to tell them what will happen to them in their future. If you have God in you, what do you fear? If God is guiding you, from what we are seeing now, He leads you, He guides you, He comforts you. Why do you need to go to another person to pray for you, to tell you about your future? Why do you want to know your future? Are you not trusting God? He created you. He knows the beginning of your life to the time that you will die. So you need to seek His guidance and protection. And you can discover them in the scriptures. And as we heard, at the commandment of the Lord, they move. A believer should see that he does not act on his own. He must have guidance. He must keep the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord. When God commands, we live by His commandment. And we must look up if we are to see the cloud. Because if the cloud moves and they are not looking up there, how would they know that they can also move? In the same way, we don't have to look at things in this world. Even if you have a problem, don't look at the problem. Look up to heaven. Look up to Christ. He's bigger than any problem. If you are looking at the problem, then you become more scared. You become more threatened. But if you are looking up to God, you know that there's nothing. Look at what He did for them from Egypt to Canaan. He opened the Red Sea for them to pass through. He gave them, He did all sorts of things. So there's no situation that we are in now that God cannot protect us or God give us. So why do you have to seek guidance from somebody? Why do you even want to know your future? There's no need to know your future. Just look up to Him as they were looking up to the clouds and moving. And then you are assured of God's will if you move like that. For the flesh is restless. As for our flesh, it's restless. It's only faith that can overcome it. And that is why He says, wait only on the Lord. We have to wait on the Lord and on Him alone. Those who never wait, who don't wait on the Lord, always end up in tragedy. We have an example of Abraham. Abraham tried to hurry God up. When God told the wife Sarah that he would give birth, even at that age, because they did not believe, Abraham went to sleep with the maidservant and had a child. And we all know the problem of the child even up to today. We know all the problems in this world now is coming from these Arab people. And this man is from that country. If Abraham had waited when God said he would give him Isaac, he would have gone through all these things. So this is a typical example of people who hurry God up. People who say, God, give me this now. Give me this now. And don't wait on the Lord. It leads to tragedy. We have to wait on the Lord. Because in the long run, after he had had Ishmael, the promise came. Isaac came. But then it was too late. Ishmael had come and caused all the problems we are facing in the world now. And King Saul also, he forced himself to act before God's time and lost his crown. Because he forced himself on God. You can read that from Genesis 16, from 1 to 3. That is that of Abraham. And the Saul one, you can read from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. We must also be obedient when the cloud does move. If we know God's will, we must do it. If you delay, light will turn into darkness. If you know God's will, you have to act on it. Don't delay. And one other thing that we should take very good note of is that the grace of God never taking away the cloud away. The grace of God is never taken away from us. It is by grace we are saved. It is by grace that we are taken through our sanctification. Throughout this world, it will still be by grace. So God's grace is never, never, never taken away from us. Even if we sin against Him, even if we go wrong against Him, God is God. What He has promised to do, He will do. And we saw it. The fact that the cloud and the fire were there all the time doesn't mean that these others never sinned. They displeased God. But yet God had the light and the fire all the time. An example in the Bible is when Moses left the children of Israel to go and pray. And then because he was waiting, he was keeping long, they made a golden calf and were worshipping the golden calf. God was very, very angry, and yet never took his grace from them. And the Holy Spirit, which he has promised to give us. Even when they tried to stone Moses, the cloud remained. They tried to stone Moses when they were in the wilderness. If you read Exodus chapter 17, verse 14, it tells you about that. They tried to stone him, and in all of this, the cloud, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire was still with them, which also means that the grace of God is always with us. He abides with them forever and ever. Christ abides with us forever and ever. Let's turn to John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So the comforter abides with us forever. God can never change. What he has said he will do, he will do. It is we who change. It is all of us that always disappoint God. But God never disappoints us. What he says he will do, he will do. He gives us his grace, and the grace is with us forever and ever. So from this account and from what we have learned, you can judge yourself. Are you led by the Spirit? You must ask yourself, are you being led? Are you a true child of God? Or you are still wandering in darkness? And if you are a child of God, are you learning the secret of guidance to wait on God? And when you know his will, you obey. As a child of God, the only thing you can do to please God is to look for his will and obey it. This afternoon, I was telling my children that because Adam disobeyed God, we are all going through what we are going through. So to have the love of God back, what we have to do is to obey God. Disobedience led Adam to where he is now. Obedience leads us to Christ. And as he has promised, he will be with us forever and ever. And he will be our God, and we will be his people. Ask him whatever you want, and if it's according to his will, he will give you. He will protect you and direct you. And there's no situation that he will never take you through. We can also read these following verses. Psalm 23, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, we have read already. Psalm 119, Psalm 105, which is all talking about the guidance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my prayer this evening is that we all obey God and trust him and obey him, live according to his will, and not trust in our own conscience, not trusting in anything that we can do in this world, but to trust in him and in him alone. For he has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is the God who can never lie. So whatever he has said, he will do it. Let's pray together. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this evening. Father, we thank you for your guidance and protection over us, as thou hast shown in this account of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Our Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that thou will bless these things in our hearts, that we will continue to trust and hope in you, and in you alone, knowing that hope in you does not lead to disappointment. Father, we thank you for hearing us, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Amen.